Tonight's lesson is entitled, Secure Your Helmet. What I'd like for you to do is to take your mind back to August 22nd, 1495. Now, there wasn't electricity, and none of us were there. But we're going to talk about King Richard III. King Richard III reigned from the 26th of June, 1483, to the 22nd of August, 1485. And his body was found in 2013. 11 wounds were found on his skeleton. 9 of them were to the skull. They've been able to positively identify that it was King Richard due to his stature, as he had scoliosis, and due to where he ended up being found. As researchers continued to study, and they were able to find his body. Now, as interesting as it was for them to find it in 2003, it wasn't until recently that they were able to do the research that's mentioned there, finding what had happened to his skull. It had been known that during battle that his horse had gotten caught in the mud. And medieval battle was very brutal and violent. And apparently he had gotten off of his horse to fight. And where he was fighting wasn't at the back lines. Now we have our commanders and our heads of armies that sit back at home and let other people go out and fight. Men like Alexander the Great and Richard III were guys that wanted to be in the mix of the battle. Now, he was kind of a sleazeball in different ways, but we're not talking about his personality before the battle. We're talking about what happened to him during the battle. From the research team, it was concluded that it's unlikely that the king was wearing a helmet in his last moments. Of course, they can't know why he wasn't wearing his helmet, but when you have 9 wounds to your skull, the helmet was gone, and they had helmets that could protect their heads back in that time. Sarah Hainsworth, a professor at the University of Leicester, who was part of this team, said Richard was probably in quite a lot of pain at the end. And some people who are doubters of this would say, well, why wasn't his body dismembered to really rub it in the face of Richard III's followers? Well, they didn't want to do that because they wanted people to know that it was Richard who was dead. So he was kept preserved kind of well until they lost where they buried him. So, whatever people think about him, we can know he fought bravely until he died. But he wasn't wearing his helmet. He wasn't wearing his helmet. You know, we read about the helmet of salvation in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We take those together, putting on the helmet of salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The Bible can do many things today, and it has been applicable for 2,000 years. And if the Lord doesn't return for another 2,000 years, it will still be applicable until Jesus' return. So when we're applying that helmet of salvation, we must know what salvation is and what salvation does for us if we're going to pull that metaphorical helmet on. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We as Christians must be armed and ready for spiritual battle. We need to proudly wear the helmet of salvation, proudly wear our Christian armor. No one that knows us should not realize that we're Christians. The way we live, the way we speak, and the readiness we have to share our faith should allow those around us to know that we are Christians. Because we're not to be ashamed of the gospel. The 119th Psalm in verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. Not a night light to my path. Chris, let's edit that part out. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." When we consider what the Word does for us, we can wear it as a helmet of as means of protection. But also the Word of God will get us through this life, leading us to an afterlife of beauty, being with God the Father forever. In John 17:17, we read, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." For us to properly have the helmet of salvation upon us, we need to go into truth. And to go to truth, we go to the inspired Word of God, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The helmet of salvation purely belongs to Christians. There's no helmet of salvation in Islam, Buddhism, Taoism, Rastafarianism, which is a pretty fun study. There's no helmet of salvation in any world religion. There is no helmet of salvation in those who don't cling to the Word of God. There is a helmet of salvation that keeps us protected by God to those who are obedient to His Word. For us to properly wear the helmet of salvation, we must do as the Bible says, and to do as the Bible says, we must know what the Bible teaches us. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." The things that we see here, even our beautiful building, it will fade away. In years in the future, there might be an accident, our building is whisked away. The possessions that we lovingly take care of, cars, homes, boats, different types of things of that nature, those are going to be gone. Moth will eat them, rust will take them away, but the Word of God will stand forever. The helmet of salvation is what will protect us, not the helmet of things that we enjoy and the things that we like, because those things are ever fleeting. In the 119th Psalm in verse 11, "I have stored up your Word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So often we read about something being stored in the heart to remember. This is the spiritual heart, right between your ears. I can't think with my physical heart. There was a denominational preacher on TV some years ago that got up and said, "We need to stop using this and start using this." And I just had to think when I had heard that, that is ridiculous. My heart doesn't do any thinking. My brain does the thinking. My heart does the thinking, for those that are listening, pointing to my brain. The blood pump doesn't think. The blood pump responds to our brains. This is the hub, right here. "I have stored up your word that I might not sin against you." We want to be right with God? Find what God wants us to do. And we can do so in the pages of the New Testament, gleaning from examples of the Old Testament. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." If we are wearing the helmet of salvation, if we are right with God, when we fall down and we get back up, the sin is forgiven. It's thrown as far as the east is from the west. It's thrown over God's shoulder. It's to the depths of the ocean. It is far away from us. We're back right with God, clean, beautiful. When we do fall short, Jesus wants us to be right. We can't give up. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we need to remember who we are as representatives of the Lord. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We all stand evenly at the foot of the cross. When we consider who we are, the nation that we are, that's a nation without boundaries. There are Christians in America, Canada, Mexico, countries in Africa, South America, Asia, Europe. If there's a scientist who's a member of the church and they're on Antarctica, we've got everything swept, including Australia. But we are a holy nation, a people that are set apart, sanctified, a people who are to carry themselves differently. We are God's possession. We, while we may inherit heaven on the day of judgment, we are God's inheritance. We are doing what God planned for mankind to do, and that is to be obedient to Him. The helmet protects us from doubt. The helmet protects us from the spiritual elements. I think motorcycles are cool. I think they are great. Lisa doesn't think it's a good idea. Something having to do with me looking at y'all and looking at the exit sign at the same time. I don't know. But now that I've got three kiddos and a beautiful wife and a work that I'm very excited about, the last thing I need to do is put my life in jeopardy. Because I agree with my wife. There's a good chance I'd splatter my brains on the highway somewhere. Hal and Daniel are great motorcycle riders. I wouldn't be, and that's just who I am. But if I were to ride a motorcycle, I would wear a helmet because it would help protect me. All my other bones may break, but the helmet would protect me from serious deathly injury. So when we understand keeping the helmet of salvation on in a metaphorical sense will allow us to be secure in God's Word and secure in God's promises. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Oftentimes when I make mistakes, it's because I've done something that I think is smart. Instead of consulting with the Word of God, I do something that I think this will be okay. And when it blows up in my face, I think I should have looked to God. I should have looked to God. We as Christians need to constantly be looking to God. When we don't look to God, mistakes happen. Doubt is able to creep in. In Matthew 21:21, and Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say this to the mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen." Great things can happen when we're Christians. Tragedy can still strike, but the life that we live will help us overcome great tragedies, get back on our feet, and utilize those sharing our experiences to help other people who are lost. In Matthew 14:31, Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of Him, saying to Him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" They saw Jesus walking on the water. Peter wanted to as well. And he started to get scared. That's when he lacked faith. He saw Jesus in front of him. And he lacked faith. When we don't apply God's Word, we can make the same type of mistakes that Peter did. We can make our lives a lot more miserable. Open ourselves up to a lot of heartache when we don't apply the helmet of salvation as we should. In John 20:27, then He said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see My hands, and put out your hand and place it in My side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." That's why Thomas was called Doubting Thomas. He had to be shown. Luckily for Thomas, that was the living Christ in bodily form right in front of him. Whenever we have doubts, when we study the Word of God, we can find truth. And the beauty of that truth is science backs it up. everything backs up the truth from God's Word. Ladies Bible class this Thursday, going to be talking about that. So ladies, if you're interested in that, you should go Thursday, 7 o'clock. 7:30? 7:30. Good. 8. Look on the calendar. If you're going to hold up thinkers, don't hold them behind Jay's big noggin. I can't see it. I only see half of them. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. I want to put an emphasis on that. The wisdom that we glean from the Bible is what we should lean upon, not our own understanding. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. When we learn what the Bible says, we are empowered by it. Because we know that no matter what happens here on earth, nobody can rip us away from God. Nobody can. Let's apply that helmet of salvation, knowing that if we do what the Bible commands us to do, we'll be with God for eternity. Let's be brave. Let's be mighty warriors. Let's stand strong for God. In the 50th Psalm, in verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Oftentimes, when people are facing a trial, they'll turn to worldly friends. They'll turn to worldly counselors. They'll turn to worldly things like booze or other sinful things. They'll turn to those areas instead of turning back to God the Father. We call upon God in the day of trouble. He's going to deliver us. We will be delivered by God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, in a scripture that we talked about this morning in our teenage class, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. If we're going to be soldiers, we need to be ready to share. And if we're going to be soldiers, we need to be well equipped. Let's put on our armor. Let's not let doubt seep in. Let's continue to study. Let's strengthen our armor, strengthening the warriors that we can be for God. Don't let the spiritual elements, don't let doubt creep in. We need to continue to study the Word of God. So, secure your helmet. We know what the helmet of salvation is. We know what happens when you doubt. Secure your helmet. Purpose in your heart to secure your faith. Secure your salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. I can know without a shadow of a doubt if I'm obedient to the Word of God, I will spend an eternity with Him forever. But if I end up in hell, it's not because of God. It will be my own shortcoming. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? I sure hope the Seattle Seahawks win the Super Bowl last season. Does that make any sense? No, it's in the history books. It has happened. We could probably get a DVD. Watch the highlights of the Super Bowl. We don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl this year. My hope isn't in that. We don't have to see Jesus. We don't have to physically see heaven. We have all the evidence that we need in the Bible. And as long as scientists continue to try to disprove the Bible, what they're going to find is they're going to continue to prove that the Bible is true. Romans 13 and verse 12, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Don't stay in sin. Don't be bogged down in sin. Don't be like King Richard III and jump off your horse and take off your helmet. Certain death will come, and that death will be separate from God the Father. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, you're all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. We're to be bright. We're to be different. We're to be that light that is shining in the darkness. In Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah had never known rain. It didn't rain then. The world was a different place. For him to say that water was going to fall from the sky, people had to think he was crazy. But he was obedient to what God told him to do. There are people today that say, baptism, dipping in water, saves you? They can ridicule all they want. But when we search the pages of the Bible, regardless of other people's opinions, we can stand for God being heirs of righteousness, much like Noah was in his obedience to God. In Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. If we're obedient to God, there is guaranteed to be a reward. There can be no doubt. There is no doubt. If we do what God would have us to do, it is in His nature to follow up on His promises. The conclusion of our lesson this evening. What is the helmet of salvation? Putting on the knowledge that we gain from the Bible, securing it to our heads, allowing us to be protected from doubt, to go out into a world that hates Christianity, that hates God, where we're able to do a metaphorical battle against the devil as we stand strong for God. This evening, secure your helmet. Do whatever it takes to get right with God. If you're not a Christian, we'd love to study with you about belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. If you are a Christian and you've taken your helmet off, secure it. Do whatever it takes to secure it. But if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need our prayers to help latch it back on, do whatever it takes to be right with God, a true soldier for Him on the winning side of the war. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.